You're listening to the NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network, part of Sports Illustrated, giving you daily NFL Draft, Dynasty, and Devy Fantasy Football podcasts.
Welcome into the Prospect Profits presented by Sports Illustrated's NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network. I am your host, Jack Despo, joined by my co-hosts, Alec Polito and Lorenz Leinbeber. On today's show, we'll be running through a 2022 NFL mock draft. This is a daily podcast feed filled with analysts and experts providing unmatched insight to the NFL, college football, and fantasy football landscape. We provide this feed ad-free, and all we ask in return is you leave us a five-star rating and check out our written content at si.com/NFL/draft. Alec, Lorenz, how you guys doing today? You ready for a mock draft?
Yeah, absolutely. First one that we're running through for the 2022 cycle. So definitely excited. Great week of college football. And now we get to overreact and put some guys in our first round that might not have been there a week ago.
Absolutely. Let's first mock draft for us. It's in podcast format. Nothing's better than this. Let's get into it.
Yeah. So Alec, you get the first pick. Yeah, we're going in order. It'll go Alec, me, Lorenz, Alec, me, Lorenz, Alec, me, Lorenz. So Alec, you get the very first pick.
One thing I do want to add is if everyone's mad about the draft order, it's totally Jack's fault.
Yes.
At Jack underscore Despo on Twitter for everyone's concerns. But Alec, let's get this started.
Great. Yeah, sure. Definitely complain to Jack. That's where our complaint department goes. But hey, starting off here with the Houston Texans, this is quick and easy. Look, the quarterback situation may not get resolved this year. Probably going to get resolved next year. So many rumors going around, but we're going to take quarterback at this first overall pick. And for me, the most dynamic quarterback in college football right now is Spencer Rattler. I'm gonna take Spencer Rattler here, and obviously this could change. There's a lot to go on for the rest of the season, but I think Spencer Rattler is my quarterback one right now. I'm gonna take him for Houston.
Yeah, fair enough. That means he's not going to be Eagle, unfortunately. I've got the Detroit Lions with pick number two. I'm going to go with Kayvon Thibodeau, the edge rusher out of Oregon. So most drafts, at least in the modern era, typically go either quarterback, pass rusher, or pass rusher, quarterback, or maybe two quarterbacks, or, you know, pass rusher and something else. Kayvon Thibodeau is quite possibly, he might be the best defender in this draft. Obviously, you got guys like Derek Stingley and Kyle Hamilton that would give you a good argument against that. But the Lions need a lot. They need a lot on defense. They need a lot on offense. They've been building that defensive line. I really like Kayvon Thibodeau to kind of be the final piece to be able to move on and move forward with that Detroit Lions defense.
Yeah, and up at three here, I'm up with the New York Jets. I'll be selecting Derek Stingley, who you just mentioned, cornerback out of LSU. I feel like this Jets team is a team that's got a number of holes, got a lot of areas and a lot of places to improve upon. And Derek Stingley, that corner position is really weak. And Derek Stingley can come in and change that right off the bat. I think his freshman season was one of the most special ones we've ever seen. He's got freaky athleticism, tremendous instincts, and he's got outstanding ball skills as well. He's going to be a turnover machine wherever he goes in the NFL. And there's just not a pass rusher or other position player worthy of passing up on here for the New York Jets. So I'm going to give him Derek Stingley, who, if he's healthy, going to be a plug-and-play starter for this team and a potential Pro Bowl player down the road.
Yeah, that's exactly where they should go. They definitely have a hole there at corner. And I come up here at pick four for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Look, we got Trevor Lawrence in the building now. I do like the young core that they have on this offensive line. But for me, they haven't fixed that tackle position yet. And why pass up an opportunity for a guy who we were able to see week one? Evan Neal is a phenomenal player. He showed it last year. He showed versatility to play multiple positions on that offensive line. He is a cornerstone left tackle in the NFL. And I think that he's an easy pick here to protect Trevor Lawrence for a very long time.
Yeah, what a fun offensive tackle. He's one of those guys that makes me want to watch offensive tackle film. I've got my Philadelphia Eagles at 5. I'm going to assume that the Eagles are going to roll with Jalen Hurts for another year after this year. If you followed me before, I'm not necessarily a big proponent of that. But I'm going to go best player available, and that's Kyle Hamilton, the safety out of Notre Dame. I've seen people talking about if Kyle Hamilton might be the best safety prospect they've ever seen. The Eagles are going to have a need at safety. Whether he's that guy, you know, the best prospect, the safety prospect they've ever seen or not, Kyle Hamilton's going to really, you know, he could, in theory, complete this secondary, depending on how Steven Nelson does for these Eagles. So I really like Kyle Hamilton here. I think that's tremendous value at 5, and I think Eagles fans will be pretty happy with that.
Yeah, if you take positional value out of consideration, probably the best player in the entire draft. But let's get to the Cincinnati Bengals here at number 6. To me, there's only one way to go here, and that's along the offensive line. That's getting a franchise tackle. And I think with Evan Neal off the board, the player that has the best chance to be that is UCLA's Sean Ryan. I love his core strength. I love his athletic ability. It looks like he's taken a step forward this year in the two games we've seen, especially against Hawaii. He was an absolute bully, had a good one against LSU, and I think his hands are improved, his initial punch is improved. A lot of things I wanted to see from someone who has a sky-high ceiling, and finally a first piece in getting Joe Burrow some real protection.
Yeah, Sean Ryan would be real exciting there in Cincinnati, and another team that needs to fill that hole so that their future franchise quarterback here can stay alive back there. But I'm up here with the Las Vegas Raiders, and I think that this is a little bit early for this player, but I do really like the film, and I'm going to stick with this pick here. I'm going to take Lasitas Smith, the offensive guard out of Virginia Tech. I think their hole is really more so on the interior for the Las Vegas Raiders. Obviously, I'm not a huge believer in Alex Leatherwood, but they're likely going to stick with him going into next year at that right tackle spot, and they've got Colton Miller at the left tackle spot. So I am going to take the interior guy, and I think he's a dominant force that's really going to be able to open up not only running holes for them, but he's going to be able to be a huge advantage in the pass game as well. I think Lasitas Smith is the pick here.
Yeah, and I love that the Raiders tend to, you know, draft guys a little early, so I think that fits them pretty well, Alec, because you said that that'd be a little early for him. Anyways, I've got the New York Giants at 8. I'm going to go with the guy that I'm not sure. I don't think Alec's going to love this for his Giants. I'm going to take Sam Howell, the quarterback out of UNC. So there are quarterbacks that I'm higher on in this draft. I think Lorenz gets to talk about one next. But Sam Howell, you know, he's going to be what's considered in the old heads of the NFL a safe pick in terms of skill set, in terms of being like a pocket quarterback for the most part. Again, not my favorite quarterback in this draft. I could see if the Giants are picking this high, that probably means that Dave Gettleman's fired. If it's a new GM, he might want to be, you know, conservative with his quarterback choice. I think the Giants like to play it old school, and they're going to take Sam Howell here.
Carson Strong here. I'm taking him at number 9 for the Atlanta Falcons, and they're really happy about him falling into their laps. Talk about a strong arm. Who I think has more mobility from within the pocket than people give him credit for, more pocket presence than people I think want to talk about. He's never going to be a runner. He's never going to be dynamic, but he's one of the two quarterbacks that I identified as quarterbacks that have first round that are worthy of a first round pick with preliminary grades. Doesn't mean he's flawless, but I'm excited about Carson Strong, especially in this timing based offense that they want to run with Arthur Smith for the Falcons. I'm excited about his prospects. I think that's a really good match.
Yeah, if I'm being honest, for the New York Giants, I'd rather have Carson Strong than Sam Howell here. But hey, we'll see what they end up with. They could be drafting that high also as well from the Bears pick, but I'm on to the Carolina Panthers here at pick 10. And I know that they took JC Horn last year, who is going to be a standout for them for sure. But I'm going to take Andrew Booth, who had a phenomenal game against Georgia. That defense only gave up 3 points the entire game. They looked really good. And Andrew Booth was phenomenal, showed great abilities as a run defender and as a pass defender, of course, the cornerback out of Clemson. I think that he would make a scary tandem in Carolina on that defense.
Yeah, that's scary. I like that a lot. I have the Giants again, Alec. I'm going to torture you. So I considered this. The Giants don't have a ton of needs. I think I could have gone offensive line here, but I decided to go best player available in general. And Lorenz is probably going to argue with me about who this is with the next, with who he has next. But I went with DeMarvin Neal or DeVar. Sorry, excuse me, DeMarvin Leal. Oh my God, the defensive lineman at Texas A&M. He's got the size, the speed, the athleticism to be, you know, a dominant force in the NFL. The Giants have a strong front seven, in my opinion. I like the defensive line. I think that adding, you know, I think that they're going to move more toward, or they're a 3-4, so they're going to have, oh my God, who'd they draft this year? Ellerson Smith and Aziz Ojulari. I think Leal will be able to kind of play some sort of an inside and outside role for them. I think he's going to be almost like a defensive weapon on that defensive line. So I really like this fit here. There's other places I could have gone, but I'm happy with this. I wouldn't be shocked if the Giants did choose to trade out of the spot, because there's going to be a lot of people clamoring for a couple of these guys that are about to get drafted. And since they already have their first pick, they could just stockpile more picks. But I'll go to Marvin Leal.
Yeah, that Giants defense looking scary potentially with the Marvin Leal on it. He's a freak athlete, but I'm going right back to the Texas A&M. Well, right there with the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are going to select Kenyon Green, the guard, in this scenario. Is going to play some tackle there, but in college, but obviously I think in the NFL he's a rock solid guard prospect who can just be who can be someone who you can really utilize along the offensive line and in your offense with his athleticism, with his power, his ability to move bodies, his ability to be tremendous in pass protection. I think he's as much as you can get a guard that can be a difference maker and open up lanes for your offense. I think that's very much real, and I think Kenyon Green is that type guy and projects as that type of player at the next level. Pittsburgh, they need help along the offensive line. It's going to be a bit of a rebuild for this team, especially if offensively. After this season, I think Kenyon Green is a good starting spot there. It's a bit of a safe pick, but also you're just gonna have to get some reliable on this team, and Green's gonna be reliable and then some.
Yeah, Kenyon Green is a phenomenal pick there, and kind of fits the Steelers way the Steelers draft. I mean, if he gets there to the Steelers pick, watch out. But I got the Cardinals here, and I'm gonna take another guy who's probably a little bit earlier, and again, this is overreaction season, but from summer scouting, I really love this kid, Avery Young, cornerback, Rutgers. Maybe not where he's going to end up, but I still think the kid has a ton of upside to potentially move up the draft board, and I still think Arizona needs another stud corner. I mean, you can't sit there with Marco Wilson and Malcolm Butler as your two corners. It's just not going to work. So I think Avery Young would give them a strong candidate as a number one corner.
And I think this next pick is going to please a lot of my friends and family, my Washington football team friends and family. I'm going to go with Malik Willis, the quarterback at Liberty for the Washington football team. So something I've seen in my days is that teams, they like to draft locally, sort of. The guys who aren't super far away, that they get to have a really close eye on. They get to see their leadership. They get to see the personality a little bit more. And I think that Willis is a one of the top quarterbacks in this draft, you know, in consideration for a position of the top quarterback in the draft. He's got a lot of physical tools, and he's right down the street, essentially, from DC. So I think that they're going to get a good look at him, kind of get probably the best geographical look at him that in need of a quarterback. And they get a guy that they can mold into the future. I think Ron Rivera would be very happy with a guy as athletic as Malik Willis.
Yeah, and talk about an impressive week one. That was Malik Willis there really slinging the pill. I'll go with the Denver Broncos at 15, and this is a bit of a projection, this pick, but Drake Jackson out of USC I think has tremendous potential. He's a very good athlete, edge defender. He's got a lot of length. He went through a bit of a body transformation. I don't think it really suited his play style, to be honest. Had to slim down a little bit, but he's someone who's got great flexibility, great power, and he's just sort of waiting to put it all together. And now if you tell me Vic Fangio is going to get his hands on him, that gets me really excited. Those Broncos don't have a lot of needs outside of quarterback. Really, I would have liked to go Malik Willis here, but they got sniped, no chance to trade up. And I think they quote-unquote settle for a guy that I think can be an absolute monster off the edge. So it's not really settling because that's still a premium position right there.
Yeah, Drake Jackson getting to 15 is putting another outstanding pass rusher in the pockets of the Denver Broncos. So definitely wouldn't be upset with that for them. I come up here with the Philadelphia Eagles, my turn to torture Jack, but I'm not going to because I'm going to take a player who I think really would be a big upgrade for them. And that's George Karloftis, the defensive end out of Purdue. I think he can fit with them. I like the player. I like the value here. And I think at this point for the Eagles drafting with so many picks, if they're not going to move up for a quarterback, just get a bunch of really good players to put on this team. And I think George Karloftis is an upgrade for them.
Yeah, I'd be okay with that. I got mad at Alec when we were doing this draft, and I think I don't know if you noticed it, Alec. I got mad at you not because you took George Karloftis for the Eagles, but because you took because both you guys took Drake Jackson and George Karloftis from me for the Vikings at 17. So I was really hoping for an edge rusher here, pass rusher. So I settled for the cornerback Kair Elam. I'm sure I butchered his name. I think the Vikings are in desperate need of, you know, pass rush and cornerback help. I'm not a big fan of their secondary at the moment. I think adding Elam from Florida would be a big help to that secondary. There's always a kind of chicken or the egg. If you need a pass rusher, you need a secondary, you need both in the modern NFL, and I don't really think the Vikings have a good pairing of either. So, Kair Allen, Elam, oh my God. I'm the worst of this. And that's my pick.
Yeah, 18, the LA Chargers. It's another team that, in my opinion, doesn't have a lot of holes. And so I'm just going best player available here. I'm going with Zach Harrison, the defensive end edge rusher out of Ohio State. All of the athleticism and length in the world that you could ask for. Get to work with tremendous coaches there. At Ohio State, he's getting better every season. Had a big time week one. I expect that to continue and even into the NFL because his best football is truly ahead of him. I know that's a phrase that gets thrown around a lot, but maybe as of right now, he's not as impressive from a productivity standpoint. He could really develop opposite of Joey Bosa, who's obviously one of the best edge rushers in the league himself. And if that happens, man, look out. And they'll need it. They'll need it playing Pat Mahomes every year. So, Zach Harrison, I like this fit here a ton for the Chargers.
Yeah, Zach Harrison is a real exciting prospect, and I would really love him in that Chargers defense. Like you said, across Joey Bosa would be a phenomenal fit for him. I'm going to come up with New Orleans here, who is in desperate need of some more playmakers, I think, on that offense. I think, you know, Michael Thomas been injured, been a little bit unreliable on getting on the field. Let's put another receiver next to him in Garrett Wilson, the wide receiver at Ohio State, dipping right back to the Ohio State Buckeyes. But I think Garrett Wilson is, for me, one of, if not the wide receiver one next year. And I really would love the fit here with the New Orleans Saints, allowing him to kind of open up the field on the other side of Michael Thomas.
Yeah, and this kind of starts a miniature run of wide receivers here. With the New England Patriots at pick 20, I'm going to go with the wide receiver John Metchie, the third out of Alabama. This is kind of feeding into the, you know, Alabama to New England Bill Belichick pipeline. But, you know, I looked back on – I thought, did the Patriots ever draft – does Bill Belichick ever draft offensive guys? You know, he's such a defensive-minded guy. Look back on this on his past. He used to almost solely draft – defense in the first round, but in the last since 2018, every first round pick he's taken was an offensive guy. So this isn't too out of the realm of reality for him to take a wide receiver. So I like this John Metchie fit here. Pair him up with Mac Jones. You know, they got the Alabama connection there as well. A team that really needs offensive weapons, at least on the outside, I think would do well with John Metchie.
that is really the easiest fit in the entire draft. I mean, I love it. Team needs receivers, and you better believe Bill Belichick is talking to Nick Saban, and I know they rave about John Metchie. So I'll go next with the Philadelphia Eagles. They're going to have to replace their starting center, Jason Kelce, at some point, and someone who's got similar athleticism and similar ability to potentially turn into the type player that Kelce is for them right now is Tyler Linderbaum out of Iowa. Really, in that scheme and that offense that the Eagles are trying to run, how important Kelce is for that. You need someone who can move like Kelce does, who can reach and seal those defenders at the rate that Kelce does. And Tyler Linderbaum has that rare athleticism, that rare ability at the center position to do that. And that's why I think that would be a pretty easy fit here for their third first-round pick.
Yeah, I mean, Tyler Linderbaum is probably going to go into the season as offensive center one. So I would imagine that with the Eagles coming up, it would make sense. They clearly put an emphasis on that position. I come up here with the Eagles, probably their favorite team, second favorite team in the NFL, Dallas Cowboys, I would think, right, Jack? But I'm going to take Nick Benito here, defensive end out of Oklahoma, guy who has a lot of talent. And I know that Jerry Jones is not afraid to dip into that Oklahoma talent pool. So I think that he would be an excellent addition on the other side of DeMarcus Lawrence here.
Yeah, that'd be a mean combo. I've got the Jets again at pick 23. They're going to go with the linebacker Christian Harris out of Alabama. I think when you look at this Jets defense, they're starting to put together that front seven, but they could really use, you know, CJ Mosley has not had a great start to his Jets career. He's expensive. Maybe he's on the outs in the near future. Maybe they look to replace him soon. Christian Harris, he's got a little bit of, he can do a little bit of everything on the defense. And I think he finally kind of pieces together, makes that Jets front seven with Carl Lawson, with that was Shaq Lawson and oh crap, and Carl Lawson too. No,
yes, yeah? He's just hurt.
Yeah, okay, perfect. That's two losses. That confused me. I think that you know shores up this defense pretty well for the near future. I like Christian Harris here.
Yeah, I got the Titans at 24, and that's been a team that hasn't been afraid to go after potential players that other teams would maybe have with a character or medical red flag to chase some big-time talent. And that's exactly what George Pickens is. I think based off of tape, you can make the argument, and I will make the argument, that George Pickens is the best wide receiver in the draft. Just coming off an ACL, has had some maturity concerns in the past, but you talk about someone who's 6'3", an absolute alpha. He's twitched up. He can run routes. He can get the ball in the air. He can beat you vertically. There's nothing that he can't do on the football field. You just got to be willing to live with a couple of things that are coming off of it and the recovery from the injury. But not that the Titans really need a wide receiver, but at some point, I think they're going to be players that just grade out so highly that they fall into a team's lap. And that's what I predict to happen here with the Titans at 24, George Pickens. It's just too good a value to pass up.
Yeah, can you imagine a wide receiver core of Julio Jones, George Pickens, and A.J. Brown? Ryan Tannehill would have no excuses but to be the top quarterback in the league with weapons like that. But I come up here with the Cleveland Browns, and one of the positions that they're weak at, and it's not a lot, is interior defensive line. And who better than Jordan Davis, the interior defensive lineman out of Georgia, and again, going right after the same school that Lawrence just picked, but hey, Jordan Davis is phenomenal. He looks ginormous. And one of my highlights of the entire weekend was the seeing him and the security guard standing next to him. The security guard was like 6 inches shorter than him. So didn't really need the security guard there. But Jordan Davis is a phenomenal player. And I'm excited. I would be really excited to see him in a Cleveland Browns uniform.
Yeah, I almost took Jordan Davis with the Patriots, but thought that was a little overkill on the defensive line for the moment. I've got the Miami Dolphins at pick 26. I was kind of looking around at their roster. There's not a ton of holes on it that matched up with what was available here. I think you could, you know, there's good talent at wide receiver left over on the board. Good talent a little bit on the edge, but honestly, I thought the Dolphins were pretty okay in those spots. So I went with the luxury pick here and drafted Breece Hall, the running back out of Iowa State. Breece Hall, by a lot of people's, you know, perspective has been the best running back in the college. This is me, you know, I have nothing against Myles Gaskin. You know, I don't think that this really negatively affects Myles Gaskin too much. I think that this creates, like I said, a luxury pick. The Dolphins now, you know, they could have gotten Najee Harris last year at around this point in the draft. Now they add arguably the best running back in the draft. They really fulfill and, you know, stack that running game. And it once again kind of gives Tua those weapons to make sure that he shouldn't be able to disappoint. There's just too much good going on around him in the offense, on that offense.
Yeah, at 27, I got the Baltimore Ravens, and for that defense to click, they need those outside linebackers, those stand-up rushers to really be forces off the edge. They got Odafe-Owa, who I think if anyone's going to be able to develop him, it's going to be the Ravens. But with this one here at 27, I'm going right back to Georgia. I'm going right back to that game we saw Saturday night, because Adam Anderson is a force off the edge. He's really tough to block one-on-one, almost impossible. He's got the speed. He can convert speed to power. He's very flexible. And now he's showing some violent and strong hand usage. I mean, the one concern about him is that he's 230, but I don't think he plays like it. I mean, Adam Anderson is a stud, and I think he's going to come into the league and be a really good third down designated pass rusher to start with as teams get his run defense ability up.
Yeah, he looked phenomenal against Clemson, and I'm really excited to watch him all year because he's going to have an opportunity to show people just what they should be fearing in that Georgia defense. And I'm going to come up here with the Green Bay Packers on the assumption that not only Aaron Rodgers is out next year, but Devontae Adams is out next year. They posted that Jordan and Pippen photo of like the Last Dance. I'm gonna assume right now that they're gone. If they're there, then this pick probably doesn't make much sense. But I'm gonna take Treylon Burks, wide receiver, Arkansas. I think that if Devontae Adams leaves, they do not have a wide receiver one, and I think Treylon Burks would give them that. It'd be a real terrible thing to put Jordan Love into the game, into the season next year without a wide receiver one. So, let's do what they never did in the Aaron Rodgers era and give Jordan Love a first-round wide receiver in Treylon Burks.
Yeah, that'd be a fun new pairing. I've got the Lions again, not the Dolphins. I got the Lions again. So we went Kayvon Thibodeau with the second overall pick. I think all the best quarterbacks have gone. I am not a Jared Goff guy, but I think you can, you know, your offense can run with Jared Goff. I don't think you're going to have an elite offense, but that's not really what the Lions are at right now. So they're going to start adding offensive weapons. I think they've got a tremendous offensive line. They got DeAndre Swift, a great running back. I think Amon-Ra St. Brown is going to be a fine wide receiver. I don't really get the hype. I think he's a solid slot option for them. So I'm going to give them an outside wide receiver in Zay Flowers from Boston College. Give them some more, you know, much more athletic, more exciting prospect than I think Amon-Ra St. Brown was. This gives them a little more juice on the outside and helps build that offense to maybe eventually, you know, especially if they get a quarterback that I like better, someone, you know, the juice to score and put up points in a passing game in the modern NFL.
Yeah, Bills here at 30. I'm going with Charles Cross out of Mississippi State. He's the left tackle, and I love everything about his game. I love his athleticism. I love his technique. I mean, he really plays like he's a fifth-year senior, so to say, with that technique that he does have. The one issue with him is he was just 285. He's up to 300 pounds apparently this season. We'll see how he does, but he just had no ability to combat power last season. It's really something that I'm looking forward to for him to get better at. Still just a redshirt sophomore this year. That's the one hang up with Charles Cross. If he can fix that, I think he could be a big time prospect and go even higher than 30th overall. And we've seen the Bills be willing to take chances with players that have a bit of a developmental aspect to them.
Yeah, Charles Cross is a riser and a good reason for it, especially if he's around that 300 range or even more. That would be great for him. I come up here with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the defending champions, but apparently in this mock draft, we're assuming they don't become the defending champions, but that's all right. Because look, they have a really complete team. This is probably a spot where they're looking to shed some cap. But I saw Anaya Smith here, and I really like the fit with that team. So I'm going to take Anaya Smith, the running back at a Texas A&M, a really dynamic running back slash wide receiver. Just give them another weapon on that offense. Defense is obviously a really talented group. Now let's put another talented weapon on this offense. Who knows if Tom Brady will retire? I'm not going to bet on it because it's been this long at this point. I'm not betting on him retiring. So just give him another weapon to use on that offense, Anaya Smith for Tampa Bay.
Yeah, and then I'm going to round it out. So apparently there's a rematch between the Bucks and the Chiefs won this time. So similar to that Vikings pick I made earlier, I was really hoping to get either a pass rusher or someone in the secondary for this Chiefs team. There's not really any top pass rushers left, so I went corner. Took Trent McDuffie, the cornerback out of Washington. This Chiefs team, they've got Charvarius Ward, Chris LeMond, Legarius Sneed, and Mike Hughes at the cornerback position. So I think they could desperately use a little bit of help on that secondary. I heard a friend one time joked with me that the Chiefs are a team that's built specifically to win in the modern NFL, and all they really don't have is too much of a pass defense outside of Tyron Matheu. So I really like getting corner for them. So McDuffie it is.
Yeah, and hey, that's all we got for you guys. That is our first 2022 NFL mock draft on the Prospect Profits show. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Prospect Profits presented by Sports Illustrated's NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network. Be sure to tune into us not only in the podcast form, but on our live show, which is during the week on Thursdays. And then we have the tailgate show on Saturdays, and we'll have potentially some more shows for you. So be sure to tune into that as well. But we will be back with more Prospect Profits podcasts next week. But be sure to tune in tomorrow to hear from our friends on the Dynasty Draft Room. Thank you guys for watching.